Welcome, welcome, welcome to the PwC podcast. So thrilled you've joined us today.
It's great to be diving into this.
You know, it's a feeling I think many of us share. Doesn't it often seem like the world, well, celebrates the wrong things?
Oh, absolutely. You look around and it can feel that way.
The loudest voices often hog the spotlight, right? The wealthiest appear to glide above the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those who cut corners, well, they look like they're leaping ahead. It can be incredibly disorienting, can't it?
It absolutely can. Our immediate observations, you know, they often don't tell the whole story, do they?
Yeah.
We see the surface, maybe the momentary gain, but we miss the deeper currents at play.
Precisely. But here's where things get really interesting, because the book of Proverbs, specifically chapter 11, offers this profound counter-narrative.
Yes.
It's like ancient wisdom whispering directly to us, saying, hey, don't be fooled by appearances. That's not how this story ultimately plays out.
I love that description.
And for this deep dive, you, our listener, asked us to explore Proverbs 11. So our mission today is to unpack it, not as just, you know, a collection of dusty old sayings.
Right.
But as a living blueprint for building a life that truly matters, a life marked by integrity, genuine influence, generosity, and an enduring impact.
And what's truly fascinating here, I think, is how these verses penned thousands of years ago deliver these sort of aha moments.
Yeah.
They resonate powerfully with our modern challenges. They offer a unique perspective, challenging our assumptions about what success really means,
mm-hmm.
and guiding us towards a path that's actually far more substantial and fulfilling.
Okay, so let's unpack this wisdom. Let's start with our first profound principle from Proverbs 11. Integrity outlasts quick wins.
A big one.
Yeah. We're talking about the simple yet maybe often overlooked truth that honesty and uprightness are worth far more than any short-term advantage you might grasp.
And Proverbs 11.1 couldn't be clearer, could it? The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. And then, just a couple verses later, verse 3 adds, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity.
So, dishonest scales. That sounds a bit old-fashioned, maybe.
It does, but think about it literally for a second. An ancient marketplace. Merchants using weighted stones to measure goods. A dishonest scale meant you cheated your customer, plain and simple.
Right, skimming a little off the top.
Exactly. But the principle extends far beyond literal weights, doesn't it? It's about every area of life where we deal with others. Finances, sure, but also truth-telling, keeping promises.
It's about fairness, really.
Fundamentally, yes.
That distinction really hits home.
Yeah.
Because dishonesty, bending the rules, it might give you a fleeting win today, you know, a temporary boost.
It might look like a win.
Yeah, but it will inevitably carry a far greater cost tomorrow. Think about it.
Yeah.
We've all seen this play out, haven't we?
Oh, for sure.
Consider, like, a business leader who inflates profits or maybe cuts corners on crucial safety measures just to make their quarterly report look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure is immense sometimes.
Right. And for a while, they might look like a genius, like they're totally dominating. But what's the inevitable trajectory there? What usually happens?
You're right to ask that. The truth, well, it has a way of surfacing, doesn't it?
It does.
Eventually, the scandals, the damaged reputation, maybe legal consequences, it all crumbles. Their so-called win was built on, like you said, a shaky foundation, a house of cards.
Compare that fleeting rise and fall to, say, a local business owner, someone who has consistently treated their customers fairly, paid their employees honestly, upheld their word for decades.
Right. Maybe not flashy, but steady.
Exactly. They may not be featured on the cover of Forbes, but what if they actually built?
They've built something much deeper.
Right.
Trust, respect, an unshakable legacy within their community.
Yeah.
And that's a foundation no scandal can really erode. It endures.
So for you listening right now, this raises a really important question, I think. Where in your own life might you be tempted, even slightly, to cut corners?
Maybe at work, with your personal finances, or even in the seemingly small ways you communicate within your relationships. It can feel like such a minor thing in the moment, you know, a little bend of the rules.
And this is where the actionable step comes in, because it's practical. Decide in advance what you will not compromise.
Before you're tested.
Exactly. Set those boundaries for yourself right now, before the pressure is even on. It's a proactive step. And Luke 16.N gives us this powerful principle. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much.
And that's not just about money, is it?
Not at all. It's about character. It's about consistency across the board.
Okay. Building on that idea of lasting impact, Proverbs also points us to an unexpected gateway to true wisdom. And this brings us to our second principle. Humility opens the door to wisdom.
Such a crucial one.
Yeah, because pride, interestingly, often blinds us. It shuts down learning. But humility, that's what truly opens us up to grow and to genuinely receive wisdom.
Proverbs 11:2 states it so plainly, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom."
It's a fascinating paradox, isn't it?
It really is. Pride promises elevation, makes you think you're rising, but so often it delivers public embarrassment or, you know, personal downfall.
Mm.
It promises knowledge, but actually cultivates ignorance because it closes us off to new information, different viewpoints, necessary feedback.
You stop listening.
You stop listening, exactly. Humility, by contrast, creates this fertile ground for true understanding, for growth, and for connection with others.
I remember watching this promising young athlete years ago. Incredible natural talent, just amazing, but brimming with overconfidence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, consistently ignored their coach's advice, genuinely believed their innate skill would just carry them through, and their career, sadly, just nosedived.
Oh, that's tough to watch.
It's just painful. But then you think about another player, maybe not the most naturally gifted, you know, but who stays humble, keeps listening, keeps learning.
The hard worker.
The hard worker. And they not only last in the game, but truly thrive, consistently improving and adapting. What do you think is the biggest trap of pride for most of us, like day to day?
I think it's often the illusion that we already know enough.
Right.
Or that our way is the only way. It's stopping listening, like you said. And this prompts a really critical question for you, our listener. Where might pride be subtly blinding you right now?
Good question.
Is there an area where you've stopped listening to others, where you've maybe closed yourself off to feedback, perhaps because you've had some success, or you believe admitting you don't know would make you look weak?
Okay, so a concrete step for you this week might be this. Ask someone you genuinely trust, a friend, a mentor, a family member, for honest feedback.
That takes courage.
It does. Ask them about an area you want to grow in. And then the hard part, truly listen to what they say, even if it feels uncomfortable or challenges your assumptions.
And maybe another part of that.
Yeah.
When you do succeed, make a conscious effort to give credit to others. Don't seek it solely for yourself.
That's good. And remember, James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's a divine principle for a reason. Hey, just want to jump in here for a moment. If you're finding value in this deep dive, exploring these timeless principles for a life that lasts, we'd love to invite you to explore more with us.
Yeah, please do.
You can visit Pittsford Wesleyan Church, that's PWC in person. Join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. Or if you prefer, learn more about our community and resources online. We would absolutely love to connect with you and share more insights just like these.
Okay, moving to our third principle. And this one often runs counter to so much of what the world tells us, doesn't it?
It really does. It's generosity multiplies blessings.
Sound almost too good to be true in our scarcity-driven world sometimes.
It's true, though. God's economy seems to operate on a fundamentally different logic than the world's. The more we give, the more we find ourselves blessed. Proverbs 11:2-4:25 really highlights this.
It's striking.
Yeah. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. It challenges our natural inclination to hoard, doesn't it?
Completely. And what's intriguing about gains even more is that it's not necessarily limited to just financial returns, though that can certainly be part of it.
They're broader.
It speaks to a broader principle of abundance that flows back to the giver. It could be relational wealth, unexpected opportunities, maybe deep inner peace or profound joy.
Okay.
And the one who withholds, who clutches onto what they have, paradoxically comes to poverty. Often a poverty of spirit or meaningful relationships, or even, ironically, the very resources they tried so desperately to cling to.
Wow.
It's a subtle but powerful truth, I think.
I knew a woman who lived this out in such a powerful way. Money was incredibly tight for her and her family for years. Really tough times.
Okay.
Despite that, she committed to tithing, to giving a portion of her income away, even when it felt like she couldn't possibly afford it. Logically, it made no sense.
Wow, that takes faith.
Huge faith. And consistently, over time, she saw unexpected provision. Better job opportunities would just surface out of nowhere.
Really?
Yeah. Surprising help would appear precisely when needed. and deep, lasting friendships just bloomed in her life because she was so consistently a giver. It wasn't a one-time lottery win, you know?
No, it was a pattern.
It was a consistent pattern of God providing for her as she continued to provide for others.
Her story really underscores the principle, doesn't it? And this raises an important question for you listening. What might be holding you back from giving more freely? Is it fear? Maybe about your own financial future? Uncertainty about where the money goes, or perhaps a deeply ingrained belief that, you know, you need to secure your own resources first before you can truly help others.
So for an actionable step this week, why not start small? You don't have to start huge.
Right. Consistent is key.
Begin with consistent acts of generosity. It doesn't have to be a grand financial gesture. It could be a genuinely kind word, offering your time to someone in need, maybe a modest financial gift. And here's a challenge. Keep a journal.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, keep a journal of how God provides or blesses you afterward. You might be genuinely amazed by the patterns you start to see. Remember 2 Corinthians 9.6 to 8. It beautifully reminds us that when we sow generously, we will also reap generously.
Okay, moving to our fourth principle from Proverbs 11, your life shapes the world around you.
The ripple effect.
Exactly. This speaks to the immense and often unseen impact each one of us carries.
It's absolutely true. Your life impacts more people than you likely even realize. Your words, your choices, your quiet acts of kindness, it all creates ripples that extend outwards, touching lives in ways you might never fully grasp. Proverbs 11:10-11 paints this picture beautifully. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices.
I love that verse.
Me too. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it implies that individual uprightness isn't merely a private virtue, is it?
No, it's public.
It has a tangible societal impact. When upright people thrive, their communities benefit. A city isn't just exalted by its, you know, grand architecture or economic prosperity alone.
Right.
But profoundly by the collective character and the blessing of its upright citizens. It creates a culture of flourishing.
That's powerful. Think about a teacher, maybe, or a neighbor, whose steady faith, whose consistent character has genuinely inspired you.
We all know someone like that.
Right. Perhaps they never sought the spotlight, they weren't famous, but their consistent presence made a real, lasting difference in your life or in the very fabric of their community. That's the kind of subtle yet profound influence God calls us to have. It's often quiet, consistent, and deeply impactful.
So for your reflection this week, how could you actively be a blessing to your community or even just your immediate circle right now?
Yeah, what's in your hand?
What unique gifts, skills, or opportunities do you possess that could make a positive impact where you live or work or serve? Even a small act can create a large ripple.
So true. For an actionable step, maybe consider volunteering your time, even if it's just for an hour or two.
It doesn't have to be huge.
No. Or simply make it a point to intentionally speak encouragement to someone who looks like they need to hear it. You know, Matthew 5:1-16 says, "You are the light of the world." So let that light shine brightly in your corner of the world.
And finally, our fifth profound principle from Proverbs 11. This one, in a way, sums up the essence of it all. Live a life that produces life.
Goes beyond just avoiding bad stuff.
Way beyond. This isn't just about avoiding what's wrong. It's about actively bringing life, flourishing vitality wherever you go.
That's the ultimate goal, isn't it? Proverbs 11:1 says, "Truly the righteous attain life, but whoever pursues evil finds death."
Stark contrast.
Yeah. And verse 30 adds, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives." This isn't just talking about physical existence, right?
Yeah. No, it's much richer. It's about a rich, abundant, eternally significant life that then extends that same life and vitality to others.
Wow.
And what's particularly compelling here is that metaphor of the tree of life.
Yeah. What does that evoke for you?
It evokes a source of ongoing nourishment, healing, vibrancy. A life that truly matters doesn't just benefit the individual living it.
Right.
It becomes a life-giving resource for others, bearing fruit that sustains, encourages, and even saves. It's a generational impact, potentially.
I've personally witnessed the profound impact of someone living this way. Imagine an individual who intentionally mentors a struggling young person.
Okay.
Pouring their time, their wisdom, their resources into them. Helping them navigate difficult choices, maybe avoid destructive paths.
That's huge.
And then years later, you see that young person and they're not only healthy and thriving, but they're now turning around and helping others in the exact same way, paying it forward.
That's the picture.
That's a life-producing life, isn't it? A tree of life bearing fruit, literally spanning generations.
It is, and this prompts a truly deep reflection for you, listener. What kind of legacy are you intentionally building right now?
Wow, that's a big question.
Is it one that will continue to produce life and benefit others long after you're gone?
So your actionable step here, invest in people. Share your faith, not just with words, but consistently through your actions and the way you live.
Living proof.
Exactly. And most importantly, stay deeply connected to Jesus. Because John 15:5 reminds us, right, apart from me, you can do nothing. He is the ultimate source of all true, abundant life.
Okay, so to recap this deep dive, Proverbs 11 truly feels like God's roadmap for building a lasting, impactful life. We've unpacked 5 core principles for you. Walk with integrity.
Stay humble.
Be generous.
Influence for good.
And produce life wherever you go.
Now, for you, our listener, here's a final thought to chew on. Which one of these principles resonates most deeply with you right now?
Just one to start.
Yeah. Which one will you intentionally focus on this week? Take a moment, truly think about it, maybe even write it down. Pray over it.
And then here's the most important part. Take that very first step today. Don't put it off. Just one small step.
Thank you so much for listening to the PwC podcast. Remember, wisdom isn't just knowing the right thing.
It's doing it.
It's about consistently living it out. We genuinely believe these principles can transform your life and the world around you.
Absolutely.
Join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. at Pixford Wesleyan Church. Until next time, live a life that lasts.